And here we go. Welcome in to another edition of Bucky and BK. Today is Thursday, May 28th, 2026. And the Buck and I are not with you for the next 2 hours. Bucky's dealing with some internet issues today, trying to get things squared away. We're hopeful to get the Buck on at some point during today's program, but in relief, the Mariano Rivera of this program, the great Double R, Rodney Rodriguez from Revved Up Racing ATX and Dirty Air Media. Double R, what's going on, man? How are you?
No, it's a good thing that I did a simulated broadcast yesterday. That way I was ready to go. I'll tell you, the Buck, man, we were joking around. We got to get him figured out on these interwebs, man. And come on, rectum. I actually have rectum now. So I get a little bit of the frustration from time to time. Of course, when you try to run, my problem is I try to run a lot of devices. And it's like, okay, let's turn some stuff off. But hopefully we see the Buck shortly.
That'd be nice. Yeah, I've got the rectum, a.k.a. Spectrum 2. And look, knock on wood, for the most part, my experience is pretty good. Bucky's out in Dripping Springs. Maybe it's something to do with location. Maybe it's bad luck. I don't know what the deal is, but it does feel like he deals with more internet issues than the average human being. And yeah, I'm trying to explain to him what a hotspot is. I'm trying to get him to use his phone to join the show. And he just, that's a foreign language to him. I mean, that was my last 30 minutes trying to find a way to get that dude on and right. But it's like literally explaining to a 150-year-old how to use technology. That's how it is for the Buck. But that's all right. We've got a lot to get into. Maybe the Buck will join us. Rodney Rodriguez, kind enough to fill in on a Thursday. We appreciate y'all spending some time with us today. Plenty to talk about. We'll get into some Longhorn baseball chatter. Of course, Greg Swindell will join the show to preview the Austin Regional, which gets going tomorrow at UFCU Dish Falk Field. We are 100 days away from Texas football. That's right, 100 days away from the Longhorns taking on the Bobcats of Texas State. We'll have a little Texas football conversation. Chris Del Conte had some interesting comments about the future of the Notre Dame series that is currently on the Longhorn schedule for 2028 and 2029. We've got Kirby Smart and Greg Sankey talking about the SEC. Of course, Rodney's wearing his Spurs shirt. Game 6 tonight of the Western Conference Finals. We'll preview that. So much to dive into on a Buck Off Thursday edition of the show, and I guess a Buck Off to Spectrum right off the bat for continuing to ruin the Buck's life. But, man, 100 days till Texas football, 100 days till September 5th, which is the first real Saturday of the college football season. Now, there is a week 0, 7 days before, so we're only 93 days away from the actual start of the 2026 season. But for most teams, including our favorite team, a nice round 100 days away. I'll just ask you right off the bat, Double R, what has you the most excited for Texas football in 2026? Obviously, a bunch of different directions you could go, but this feels like a huge year. You and I have chopped it up a few times about the excitement level surrounding Longhorn Nation here in 2026. What has you most pumped up about watching the Longhorns for the first time 100 days from now?
On at 2:30, as a matter of fact, that game time could be sizzling on September the 5th over at DKR. Honestly, what I'm looking forward to is that, you know, the expectations here are always so high. And, you know, we longtime Texas fans that have done this, you know, been a part of this fandom for so long. Expectations are high even when they shouldn't be. Yeah, I mean, even when you knew you had a 7-5 or an 8-4 potential team, it's still, the expectations are great. But and last year, you correlate this to last year, where those expectations, in my opinion, and I talked about this a lot right here, Rob, in the TSU days, or yeah, Texas Sports Unfiltered days, that they were just unrealistic. But now that you have those ultra high expectations, that's what I'm looking forward to the most this year, because they seem realistic. It really does seem realistic. And with the influx of talent that has come in, and you have actually gone in and the program has actually addressed the areas that need to be addressed, I happen to love what I'm seeing right now in the offseason, where Steve Sarkisian seems to be embracing most of the attention right now, to where he's like, I heard you guys talking yesterday, come after me. I like that. I like that. The pressure is off of Arch Manning. The expectations for Arch Manning, we hear about the expectations, but it's not the blow up that we had last year, because now it seems like something that can really happen. Heisman favorite, you damn right he should be, and he's proven that, and that's where this year it just seems like it's on par with what could possibly happen. Injuries, all these different things, the things that you can't predict that could happen, but on paper matches on field to this point. And it's got me fired up. I'm ready to go here, man. And the schedule, the way it lines out, this is one of the toughest schedules in the nation, my man. And you go through this, you've really accomplished something. And I think it's realistically there for this program.
No kidding. It is one of the toughest schedules in the nation. There are some metrics out there that say the Longhorns do have the toughest schedule in the nation, but I'm with you, man. I think you hit the nail on the head. And this team is a lot older. They're a lot more experienced than last year's team. I know Texas was preseason number one in 2025, but it was a young team. They had lost double-digit draft picks from the year before. They were replacing a number of key figures on both sides of the ball, including Quinn Ewers, who was the three-year starter at quarterback. And it took a little bit of time. I mean, by the end of the season, Texas was one of the best teams in America, but they got off to that horrible start where they lost their first two games against power four competition nowadays. Still trying to get used to all of that. And that put them way behind the eight ball. And, you know, they ended the year 7-1, but unfortunately, because of that 3-2 start, that wasn't good enough to get them into the CFP. So this team, with all the experience, the guys that they have coming back, but also the transfers they brought in. I mean, these are experienced guys. Like Cam Coleman's an upperclassman. Heck, Lawrence Seymour, the Western Kentucky offensive lineman, that guy had to basically sue for an extra year of NCAA eligibility. He's so old. Melvin Ciani, the right tackle, is an upperclassman. Raheem Biles, Bo Masco, the list goes on and on. Beauty of building from the portal is usually you're getting guys who have already been there, done that. They already have a few years of college football experience under their belt. They're in their 20s. They're not 18 or 19. So their bodies are more mature. Mentally, they're more mature. It's just an older, more experienced Texas team. Obviously, the talent is absolutely there. But I think just that combination of things right there is why I'm with you. I feel like this could be a very special fall around these parts.
There are always so many things that happen in the offseason, because football, whether it be the college football or the NFL, I mean, we get it all year. There's always doses of it that are going to be continuing in a sports cycle to feed you information. And I think something else that's just been with since the time that this team last suited up, and with the additional transfers and so forth, is the focus of college football with what's the play. Is it going to be 12? Is it going to be 24? Now you've got bipartisan stuff that's happening where I can't figure out how our government can't figure out a way to work on national problems, but they can figure out a way to fix college sports. And I mean, that tells you the impact of college sports right there. But so much of that happening, Lane Kiffin making the move and Kurt Cignetti and Indiana and all these other stories, Texas has found a way to solidify their roster and fix those spots and add the guys that you're talking about. Yep. And very quietly solidify themselves as a national championship contender. And I like that kind of stuff. I like the focus not being solely on Texas right now, because that doesn't happen very often. And I really like it in the sense of what we're talking about, that the potential and everything is sitting right in front of them and it's there for the taking. And I do think, and this really is, this is that put up or shut up time that we talk about. Okay, Steve Sarkisian, you've gone in and you've addressed these different needs that you felt in your program, in your organization, were problems. It's on you. This is your time, my friend.
100%. Sark's been extremely confident, right? Not only with the comments over the last couple of weeks that have gone viral about Ole Miss and the basket weaving and, you know, Texas Tech. He didn't actually mention Texas Tech by name, but calling out their schedule. Everybody knew who he was talking about. I mean, that's confidence from Steve Sarkisian. But again, it dates back to a few months ago when he's saying that he believes this roster has top-end talent across the board. Like in some years, we've had top-end talent in certain places, but we haven't had it at every position on the roster. He has openly said he feels like this roster has everything. and it's year six for him. Obviously, Texas invested a lot into their program. Shout out to the big money donors for allowing the Longhorns to bring in a really, really good transfer portal class and another elite recruiting class. Like, you've got a quarterback in his fourth year in the system and his second year as the starter, and obviously his last name is what it is. You're right. I mean, it doesn't feel like there are a lot of excuses. It feels like Sark has everything that he needs to really make a run at this thing. I firmly believe that this is Steve Sarkisian's most talented roster in his 6 years in Austin, Texas. And yes, the schedule is tough. You got to play Ohio State in the non-con and then nine games in the SEC, and it is not an easy SEC slate. And oh, by the way, there's only one bye, and it's before the Oklahoma game. After that, you're playing eight straight games against eight straight SEC opponents, and that's not going to be easy, but you feel like you've got the roster. The coach feels like he's got the talent and the depth to make it happen. This feels like the year it should all come together.
And you just said the key word right there. You just said depth. And I think that was one of the things in the last couple of years with really good Texas football teams, to where that was always a question. What happens if A goes down? And, you know, Texas is really built – Steve Sarkisian and the group have built a roster that, you look at a lot of the twos and threes that are ones in a lot of other places. And that's something really, that's something really special. And the thing about it is you have to have that mindset as a player, to where here comes the culture word again, that's going to be built in there, to where you have to sell these guys on, you have to be ready when your number's called. Yeah. Especially in these days, BK, to where it's like so easy to, you know, come on in as a number two, you're going to be a number one in about a year and a half. Well, no, I want to go be a number one right now. The fact that Steve Sarkisian has been able to instill that here, and yeah, money and everything, facilities, Austin, Texas, all that helps. But I think what he's really selling at this point, where this program is what the program is selling is we're going to be good, right? We've been good the last 3 years. We're going to be really good this year, and we're going to be really, really good moving forward. And that's a thing that you have to instill in folks. And I think these young dudes and some of these transfers are believing that right now.
Yeah, that's well said. And they've recruited really well. And they're going to hit the portal again next offseason, because I expect Texas to have a pretty mass exodus following the conclusion of 2026. Not that we're trying to rush through this season. We both believe it could be a very special year. But yeah, with the way this thing is set up, with the resources that Texas has, you feel like the Longhorns have some real staying power here under Steve Sarkisian. Obviously, he's done a great job building this program back up to where we all want it to be. I mean, Texas is 35-8 in the last 3 years and 13-3 in the Southeastern Conference since joining 2 years ago. We almost take it for granted, right? I know last year was a disappointment. This is not an argument against that, but think about where Texas was in the 12 years prior. Heck, the first 2 years of the Sark era, but obviously the entireties of the Tom Herman and Charlie Strong eras and the end of Mack. I mean, it's like we would have killed for a 35-8 stretch over the course of 3 years. And now we're asking for more. Not to say you shouldn't ask for more, but my point is you feel like, all right, you've got the right people in place to make sure that this thing is a consistent winner. And I'll tell you what, Double R, another thing that I'm really looking forward to seeing 100 days from now, Coach Boone back on the sideline. Yeah. I got a little taste of it at the Fan Day open practice in April. I mean, you could hear Will Muschamp yelling at his players. Heck, he was dog cussing the refs in that scrimmage at DKR Texas Memorial Stadium. You didn't even have to be in the stands. You could be just walking on San Jacinto outside, and you could hear Coach Boom getting after it. His personality, his energy, his emotion. Obviously, that was the biggest move that Steve Sarkisian made all offseason. Now, we've talked about Cam Coleman and, you know, convincing Trevor Goosby to come back and this, that, and the other. The move from Pete Kwiatkowski to Will Muschamp was totally out of left field. And we all love Will Muschamp from his first time at Texas, but like, is he still that same Coach Boom? That's a massive, massive question. I think the answer is yes. I think it's a great hire. I can't wait to see what he does. And in 100 days, I know it's Texas State, but in 100 days, we'll get to see what this new look Texas defense looks like for the first time.
Yeah, you stole my thunder right there. I don't even want to think about the thunder right now. But yeah, that's exactly where I was going, where I was going to go next. Because the thing about it is, with a Steve Sarkisian-led team, what are you going to think about? You're going to think about a prolific offense. You're going to think about just tremendous numbers. And, oh, by the way, you've got Arch Manning as your quarterback, who I think has proven to people that he is worthy of the status that people are putting him at right now. And we're putting him at the potential to be. But the story of what could be a dynamite run. What could be a dynamite run? The sky's the limit to a national championship, SEC championship, whatever it wants to be. How great is it going to be if the story is this defense, led by Will Muschamp, one of the best in the country? How is that going to flip the script to where if you get past the midway of the season, and again, this is going to be hard with Arch Manning and the dynamic that Arch Manning brings. How crazy is it going to be is if you get the story of the Texas Longhorns is the defense.
Yeah. Look, I hope it's both. I think we all hope it's both, right? You want to have your cake and you want to eat it too. I feel like early on, because it's still Sark's offense and you just have more returners on that side of the ball than you do on defense, I feel like the offense should be carrying the weight. They sure as heck should be better to open up 2026 than they were to open up 2025, because it was clear they just didn't have things ready to go. Honestly, until Mississippi State, that offense was kind of up and down. Yeah. Even in the win over Oklahoma, remember, Texas only scored 16 points offensively. They had that niblet punt return touchdown to get to 23, but it wasn't like that was some super impressive offensive showing. Obviously, the losses to Ohio State and Florida were disastrous at times. So the offense should be better, especially early on. But this, like, Sark's going to get judged for a lot of things. Of course, because it's his offense, we know he's going to get judged for that. He has been for his first 5 years in the ATX. But yeah, making that move. Because, again, there were some Longhorn fans who were like, yeah, PK's got to go. Because the defense did take a step back in 25 compared to the two playoff years. But it felt like Pete Kwiatkowski had built up enough good grace with Longhorn Nation to where it's like, yeah, no, we don't need to. Like, we trust him. He'll figure it out. He'll get this defense turned around. It's all good. And then, again, Sark just kind of out of nowhere makes this move. So if the defense isn't that level, if it doesn't look national championship worthy, yeah, of course people are going to be disappointed with Coach Boom, but it's like, you know, you had a couple of years of a national title level defense with PK as the guy. Why did you make that move right there? So there's some extra risk involved, and we're obviously hopeful that decision pays off, but it better pay off for Coach Sark.
Yeah, you know, it would be very easy to, what do they call it, to hold a status quo. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, all of these different things to where was the defense elite? No. Was it great? At times, it was good. But, and this is where we go back to Steve Sarkisian being aggressive and the kind of the different side of Sark that we're seeing right now, where that's a big balls move right there to go and make that move. And the thing that I like about it, and I mean, with Coach Boom coming back and not to give Georgia a lot of credit, but, you think about the time that Will Muschamp has spent in Kirby Smart system, old dog, new tricks, all of that stuff. That's what's coming here. This is where you study where has Texas stumbled against Georgia. You go out and get a piece of what's been your Achilles heel. Good business right there, my man. And you bring a football dude in that seems to be more aggressive than he was before. Already a junkyard dog. Man, you are putting some magnificent pieces together here in Austin.
Yeah, no, and Sark, if you believe the rumors, I mean, he wanted to hire Will Muschamp on his initial staff back when he got to Texas in 2021, and just the timing didn't quite work out. I mean, Coach Boom had just been let go at South Carolina, and there's some weird contract stuff and whatever, just didn't happen. So Coach Boom becomes an assistant on Georgia staff. In the last couple of years, he's been kind of an analyst/consultant, but I guess Sark was just waiting for the right time. He'd always kept an eye on what Coach Boom was doing. He's always been a fan of his work. And like you said, I mean, it's almost like if you can't beat him, hire him. Yeah. Texas doesn't play Georgia this year unless they were to meet in the SEC title game or the college football playoff, obviously. But that's the team that's been a thorn in your side. But more importantly, that's the team that's been kind of dominating the SEC. Like, you want to be Georgia, right? Like, for a long time, it was you want to be Alabama when Nick Saban was there. Now it's you want to be Kirby Smart's Georgia. That's what the other 15 schools in the SEC, I think, should be trying to be. And, well, that's clearly, I think, a part of Steve Sarkisian's decision to bring in Coach Boom is a guy who's been there, who knows what Kirby Smart's doing, who knows what it takes to win in the SEC. I think all of those things were attractive to Coach Sark, and also just the aggression, the personality. Like, PK was reserved. He wasn't an in-your-face, rah-rah, you know, knock-over-a-whiteboard kind of guy like we all know Coach Boom is. Just think he was looking for more aggression, looking for more of a head coach for the defense, and that was why the move was made. And, again, we get to see – I don't know how much we'll learn 100 days from now against Texas State. The defense better look good against the Bobcats, because if it doesn't, uh-oh. Really 107 days when Julian Sain and Bo Jackson and Jeremiah Smith and the OSU Buckeyes come to town. That's where we're really going to learn whether it's fair or not. It's only the second game of the season. That's where we're really going to learn if this was the right decision.
And how much of this do we want to call it different Steve Sarkisian that we're seeing, more outspoken, more brash, more whatever you want to call it? How much of this is a Will Muschamp effect, where you are the people that you hang around, that they talk about? So how much of this is a little bit of that rubbing off on him, to where, you know, we got you, Steve. You go do that part. You go be the face, and we're going to make this. We're going to make this offense. We're going to make this defense. We're going to make them great. And I think the other part of the season too is going to be, you look across the Southeastern Conference, and the demise of the SEC has been just a little much. I mean, I get that the Big Ten has won championships and so forth, but this conference has gotten a lot better. This every program right now, even what you would consider at some point teams that maybe not elite programs, maybe not the most sought after places to play football and go to college, they've got really good programs right now. So to run through this, to have to run through this, is just going to enhance everything that we're talking about right here. And again, back to the schedule. I mean, there's talk about UTSA, talk about Texas State. I love the way that this lays out. You got the 2:30 game on September 5th. That's going to open it up. You want to see this. You want to see this energy in this program, both sides of the ball. You want special teams. You want all of that. Then you've got that big one. And then let's say Texas State takes care of business against Ohio State. How do you bounce back at 7 o'clock against UTSA in a trap game, if you want to call it that? I mean, all of this lays out just so perfectly to test the team early to see how ready they are to go into this conference run.
Did you say 2:30 against Texas State?
2:30. I see folks talking about the icy whites. I think I'm going to have some ice cold Allstat on my couch that day. Or Schultz Beer Garden or something that day.
Start hydrating now. If you're going to be at DKR TMS on September 5th, start hydrating now, and a pasty white boy like me, I'm going to start lathering up sunscreen today. Like, you can never be too early for a afternoon game in early September here in Austin, Texas. I mean, are these it's obviously not Texas's call. I've seen some Texas fans get mad at Chris Del Conte and tweeting at him. It's the TV partners who control everything. It's going to be a nationally televised game on big ESPN. Texas might be preseason number one. I hope they're not, but they'll be somewhere in the top three, Arch Manning, all of that. So you understand why the TV partners want Texas in a spot where a bunch of people can watch. But, man, it's not doing any favors for the 100,000-plus who will be attending that game in person. That is freaking brutal. The good news is, now, the other two non-conference games will be at night. We've known for a couple of weeks that the Ohio State game will be in primetime. That'll be a 6:30 kickoff. And we found out that the UTSA game will be at 7 o'clock. That's only SEC Network Plus. So Texas kind of got the choice on that game time. But, yeah, game one, September 5th, 2:30 in the afternoon. Dude, that's I'm going to start praying for y'all who are going right now. I'll just say that.
I gotta tell you, I mean, I know the when we talk about those first three games, the Ohio State, you know, obviously that's the one that you circle where it's like, you know, national implications. I mean, you know, loser of that one, you know, is starting off in the hole, I guess, with this system that we have. But you know, San Marcos and San Antonio, that's pretty exciting for those groups right there. I mean, there's a lot of pride in those two schools and getting to take on Texas, especially right now with, you know, I've got a lot of friends that are alumni from both of those schools, and man, they're jazzed up and fired up to get the chance to play Texas. And I think that that's kind of the mindset across the board.
Yeah, I think so. Like when you play these, you know, lesser non-conference games, if you will, I think Texas should be playing in-state schools, right? And especially schools in their system like UTSA is. So, yeah, it's a little regional rivalries. Rivalry might be too strong of a word, but these are games that are cool. They mean a lot to a lot of people. And, you know, it's with the Texas State fans, it's the one game a year where they – don't root for Texas.
Yeah.
They talk so much trash about Texas, they're going to lose that game by 35, and then they'll be Longhorn fans the rest of the way. That's how it usually works for them.
I've had to remind my Texas State and UTSA friends, I'm like, we're not talking about baseball here. If we're talking about baseball, I'll give you a puncher's chance. But if you come in and rock the world, we got problems.
Yeah,
we got the problems.
Don't even say that, please. That ain't gonna happen. I think nothing to worry about with either of those two schools. I mean, we've seen Texas and UTSA play a few times in recent years, and things have not gone too well for the Roadrunners. So, it's been a minute since Texas and Texas State have played, but usually when that happens, things don't go too well for the Bobcats in this sport. And baseball, a different beast, but football. Feel good about that. So we'll take your thoughts. Again, 100 days away from kickoff, a nice round number. We don't really need an excuse to talk about the Longhorns, but there you go. We got an excuse to talk about the Longhorns. We'll have more Texas football conversation coming up on the show. Obviously, some Texas baseball and softball chatter coming your way as well. We'll get into some sound from Kirby Smart talking about Georgia. Kirby Smart had some very polarizing things to say at SEC spring meetings. Also, Greg Sankey had some interesting things to say at SEC spring meetings. We'll get to those stories in a moment. But first, let's get through a round of sponsor shout-outs. And you got the AV consultation set up there behind you, Double R. Is it, you've got some new additions to the home studio.
No. Actually, that's just some sound barriers. Had to get some sound barriers up. So, all of that's over there. All of that's still over there. I got to have you over here to check this thing out. I mean, I got to tell you, this weekend, Coke 600, Indianapolis 500, this place, you could hear this place from like 3 miles away. It sounded like there was stuff going on here. And hey, AV Consultations can do that for you, my friends. 255-8678, avconsultations.com. BK, you've got the ultimate system right there. And I have to tell you, kind of when I set this one up, I think this space is kind of like yours. I said, I need the BK set up is what I need. And I got it, my man.
Yeah, it's awesome. AV Consultations, look, they've hooked both of us up at multiple residences over the years. Tom McKay, he actually called me. I got to call him back. He's been very loyal to us, and he's been very loyal to Central Texas. Look, we're not alone. He's hooked up thousands of Central Texans over the years. AV Consultations has been around since 1988. That's longer than I've been alive, so they can hook you up as well. TV, surround sound speakers, they do whole home lighting, they do surveillance systems, they can put a golf simulator in your home. Anything technology related, AV Consultations can make it happen for you. Double R gave the number, 512-255-8678. Find out more online at avconsultations.com. You mentioned Altstadt beer a little bit earlier. It's my choice. Should be yours as well. We're approaching the summer here in Central Texas. I know for some of you kiddos, it already is summer. Now, you can't drink the Altstadt beer, but parents, now that your kids are back home, you might need a few more Altstadt beers to deal with the little rascals running back around. Look, I love Altstadt. We've got a great sports weekend coming up. It really starts today with the Women's College World Series. Western Conference Finals Game 6. Obviously, college baseball's postseason gets going tomorrow. The NHL playoffs continue. A lot happening right now. You need a great beer to accompany all of your sports watching all spring, all summer, and all year long. Altstadt is my choice. Should be yours as well. Brewed locally in Fredericksburg, but available all across the great state of Texas. Your favorite bars, your favorite restaurants, grocery stores, liquor stores, wherever you get your beer, make sure you drink the best. You deserve the best. You go through a lot in your life. Altstadt beer is the best beer there is. It's Altstadt beer. No impurities, no regrets. And speaking of great sporting events, Centex Tickets. If you want to attend any of these games in person, Centex Tickets has you covered. It's sports, but it's also concerts and comedy shows and festivals and Broadway shows. So much happening in Central Texas and really all across the state of Texas all the time. If you want to catch something in person, don't shop around a million different ticket sites. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your money. Just shop our friends. Shop local. Send text tickets, and they're going to hook you up with 10% off. No one else is giving off 10% discounts right now when it comes to tickets. Send text 10. You type that in at checkout, and boom, you are going to get 10% off of any ticket purchase from our great friends at sendtexttickets.com. All right. SEC spring meetings are carrying on in Destin, Florida. There's been a number of different storylines stemming from those. We will get to something Chris Del Conte said yesterday a little bit later in the program, but I want to play some sound from Kirby Smart. I don't think this is something you and I have talked about before, but it's something that, you know, a lot of Texas football fans and SEC football fans in general have discussed. It's the possibility of the SEC breaking away from the NCAA and kind of doing their own thing. And Kirby Smart, the head coach of the Georgia Bulldogs, was asked about this yesterday. It was kind of a conversation about the future of the college football playoff, and obviously different conferences feel differently about how many teams should be in and what the format should be. Heck, different coaches within conferences kind of feel differently. So there's no real consensus, and nobody has any idea what's going on beyond 2026. Well, Kirby Smart was asked about the possibility of the SEC breaking away if they don't get what they're looking for. Here's what he had to say about that.
I've said this for a long time to our president. I've been a huge advocate that if we can't find rules that everybody plays by, then we should, you know, play our own. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid to break away and say that our conference is strong enough to go out and have and play. I mean, like, if we could actually function and it financially would make our programs more stable and we could support things financially, I'm talking about all the sports, and do by our own rules, I'd be all for that. I've been to this meeting now 10, 11 times, and it's frustrating at times to say, well, we can't do this because of litigation. We can't do this because of litigation. We can't do this because we'll get sued. We can't do that. And we're just trying to do things for the betterment of the sport and the betterment of the student athletes. And that's not curtailing what money they make. I'm not advocating that they make less money. I'm fine with what student athletes make. I'm trying to make it where it's as equal and as comparable footing for everybody, and it's not a race to the bottom, as they say.
So there's Kirby Smart really floating out, not subtly, the idea of the SEC potentially breaking away, doing their own thing if they don't get what they are looking for in the next round of college football playoff discussions. Double R, right off the bat, your thoughts on the idea of this conference kind of going rogue?
I mean, it makes sense because you look at the hierarchy of college football, and between the, like we said, the SEC and the Big Ten, that now that would make more sense to me if you did something like that. But how does that radically change just the landscape of college athletics if that happens? But I think the counter argument to that is we talk about the NCAA being, you know, the governing body of college sports, and they are utterly powerless when it comes to everything. So that's where this has just gotten so out of control, and it's very much just kind of an outlaw thing is college athletics right now. But the SEC and the Big Ten would make sense to me. I think more if there was going to be a rogue breakaway or an exodus from what we know as college sports right now, I think that would need to be multiple conferences to where it's, you know, 32 to 48. What makes more sense to me that I've thought about in the past, because me being like a traditional bowl guy, you know, I love bowl games. I love the bowl system. And that's where ultimately the downfall of the bowl system is what has come out of this, to where maybe that becomes for the secondaries, for the G5s, maybe that becomes the bowl system, but then you lose the money. So it's just a convoluted mess of all the different parts and pieces. But I just, the traditional part of me just doesn't want any conference breaking away. Yeah. Or two conferences breaking away. We need the traditional college sport. The NFL is the 32 league thing. That's the National Football League, which is the ultimate goal. College sports needs to be all in one cohesive, in my opinion.
I agree, man. I'm not a huge fan of the I'm going to take my ball and go home guy, and it sure sounds like that's what Kirby Smart wants to be here. Now, look, I get it. The SEC's frustrated. They want to be the biggest power broker in college football. They want to call the shots. And I mean, I don't think the SEC wants something that is totally outlandish, right? I think the SEC is looking for what most college football fans are looking for. And that's for the playoff to not go to 24 teams.
Right.
I feel like if you just surveyed, I don't know, 1,000 college football fans from all over the country, they would say, heck, I feel like most don't even want it to go to 16. But that's the big holdup right now, is that the Big Ten and the Big 12 and the ACC, they're all publicly on the record saying they want to go to 24 teams. And the SEC is like, no, we don't want to go beyond 16. So I don't think it's crazy what the SEC is asking for here. I agree with trying to stop at 16. Hell, I already think 16 is too much. I already think 12 is too much. Yeah. But we know we're not putting BBs back inside the box here. We're not going down. Once you start expanding, you don't stop. But you can't, if you don't get what you want, you can't just break away. You can't just leave. And again, if it's the SEC and the Big Ten, okay, maybe it's a different discussion. I still don't want that. But that, it's like, all right, you're getting all the best brands together. And I would think if something like that were to happen, both conferences would pick and choose. Hey, Miami, we want you. Hey, yeah. Florida State. Hey, Clemson. Like, we want, you know, well, they'd get some of the other big brands that are still out there to join. So they'd be bigger leagues and it'd feel maybe more like an AFC and NFC in the NFL. That I would listen to a little more. But yeah, one conference on its own, I mean, I think that'd lead to the death of the SEC. I really do. Like, I just, it pains me because I got the dunk on the SEC for years before Texas was in there. And the SEC forever was getting away with cheating. And it almost felt like they were playing by their own set of rules. Yep. And I agree, the rules are crazy. And we've got to actually enforce some of the rules that are out there. But it almost feels like, well, now the SEC isn't quite getting what it wants all the time like it used to. So everybody's mad and we have to break away because it's not fair. Like that, I know Texas is a part of it now, but that to me just doesn't sit right with me from the way that I viewed this conference from afar for the first three decades of my life.
And that's where I don't like that it's gotten to the point to where the SEC, or let's say the Big Ten, to where that's always going to be the power play. To where, I mean, look, you know, here's my Stevie Wonder, Ronnie Millsap, Ray Charles reference. It's really clear. Those three guys can see that the cream of the crop, they are in that conference. But is that going to be what we're getting to all the time? I don't like Kirby Smart going to these meetings and dropping that. Yeah, have those discussions within. But what does that do? That just fuels the fire. I hate power plays like that. I mean, and I know it's part of business. I totally get that, to where you try to leverage that. That's a leverage move right there from Kirby Smart and the SEC to where it's like, okay, well, you know, we always have, we are good enough that we can go do our own thing. Are you? I mean, it's like, I mean, can you? I mean, there's a lot more to it. Like I said, the NCAA
it would just be dumb. It'd just be dumb. Stupid. Like, you have a national championship for every other conference, and then what, the SEC is going to have its own national championship? Like, that's not good for the sport. Does anybody think that's good for the sport? Does Kirby Smart even think that that's good for, and forget just college football, like for all sports? Like, that just, it just doesn't make sense. So, look, maybe it was just Kirby Smart making an outlandish point to try to get a point across. Like, what's happening right now is ridiculous. And I do think most people feel like what's happening right now is ridiculous. And I think the best thing that would happen is these conferences all come together. If we could get a commissioner for college football to where there's actually somebody in charge and there's actually rules that are in place and those rules are actually being forced, that's what I think needs to happen. And I think most of these coaches want that to happen. It can't just be, well, if that doesn't go down, then right now we have to break away and do our own thing. Like, let's give this time, find a way to find a solution that makes sense for everybody. To me, just picking up your ball and going home, again, I think it would lead to the death of the SEC. People just wouldn't care nearly as much.
And that's where it needs to be in the hands of whoever it's going to be to figure out, to put some limitations, to put something on, whether it's NIL money, whether it's transfers, whether it's how funds are distributed amongst conference members. I mean, that's what needs to happen. And I'm telling you, it's a sad state of affairs that it's gotten. But how big is this to where it's like you got to get the government involved to try to figure this stuff out? But that's what needs to happen, because you do feel for some of these, whether it be a Big 12 school, a Sun Belt school, the American Conference, whoever it is, to where you're playing at a deficiency already just in name stature and just different things right there. You want his level of a playing field. I love college football. I love college athletics. That's to me what makes college basketball so appealing, is that you have there's some sort of maybe in there. And with college baseball, I mean, look, Tarleton State's coming to Austin this weekend, and a lot of people are like, who is that and where the hell are they from? But that's where it's just more level. How do you do that with football? Because it's such a beast. You've got to, it just went out of control. And like I've said with the NCAA for a long time, people wanted all these different things to happen, and they kind of put the handbrake up a little bit, and then they finally just said, okay, boys, have at it.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want to do. And here we are at this point right now. And how do you fix it?
You're never going to get full parity in college football. Like, it's just never worked that way for as long as the sport has existed, right? The schools with more money, more resources, better facilities, whatever, they're all going to have a leg up. They did pre-NIL, even pre-under the table paying players. And they obviously do now in the NIL era. So there's no way to make it perfect, but yeah, just having an actual enforceable set of rules, like when it comes to eligibility, when it comes to transfers, when it comes to when coaches are leaving, when it comes to, I mean, every school is supposed to have the same amount of money they're spending on NIL. It's not NIL right now. It's pay for play. It's pay for play. These guys aren't actually following through their NIL requirements that they're supposed to earn their money. They're just, hey, if you come play for our school, we'll pay you this much. And then, you get to negotiate your contract at the end of every season. And congrats, you've got all the power now, players. There needs to be, and you mentioned it earlier, Double R, like now you've got politicians trying to get involved. And I know that bothers some people. Usually we've tried to keep politicians away from sports as much as we possibly can. And I know it bothers people because it's like, don't y'all have like other things in the country to deal with? But where we've gotten is the people who are supposed to be in charge of this stuff, the NCAA, they have no power anymore.
Yeah.
Now, for a long time, it was they're not trying to do anything. And I still think that's part of the issue. I don't think they work that hard. But nowadays, it's like, well, when they try to enforce something, someone just sues.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to my state government, the court, and sue you because we don't like you. Oh, Ole Miss, you say Trinidad Chambliss can't play this year? We're going to sue in the state of Mississippi. We're going to get what we want. Oh, you say Brendan Sorsby can't play because of gambling? We're going to sue in Lubbock County and try to get what we want. So that everybody knows that it's a freaking disaster what's happening. And it's like, we got to find a way to get everybody together to fix this. It doesn't need to be rash, instant reaction. Take your time. Find a way to get together, find a way to put something or somebody in charge who can control this thing, because college football is so different than every other NCAA sport. It cannot be treated as the same as anything else. And we love the other sports. Of course we do. It cannot be treated in the same light as women's tennis or men's golf or whatever other example you want to use. You have to have a different set of rules, and you clearly need to have somebody different in charge so we don't have this sport. I mean, it's unrecognizable. In the last 5 years, so much has changed in college football. It's not the same as what it was before the pandemic was here. And now we're talking about just blowing this whole thing up basically altogether. I mean, we gotta put a stop to this thing before it's too late. That's my fear. Yeah. It's like, we're going to be here doing this show in 2029, 2030. And it's like, it's not even college football anymore that we're talking about.
No, and it's not amateur athletics. And that's where it just drives me crazy. I think I already heard it a while ago, to where it's like, you know, the student athletes, you know, come on, man. I learned a lot when I first started doing play-by-play. I used to say, I'm a hobby broadcaster. I went out and did a gig and somebody paid me $5. And a guy said, you're a paid professional because you just made $5. These guys are making a lot more than $5.
Yeah.
This is a professional sports entity right now. This is the breeding ground, the feeder system, whatever you want to call it, to the freaking NFL. I mean, we just went crazy over the draft. And now these guys are getting paid handsomely to do this job. It's gotten to the point where you can't fix it. At this point, you can only hope that there's a way to somewhat regulate it, because like you said a while ago, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. I mean, but where do you start? And the commissioner really is the key. And Nick Saban seems to be the logical thought right there. I mean, I've always thought Nick Saban and Mac Brown, let them figure this out. But again, this is a lot to figure out. It is, yeah, like you said, unrecognizable right now.
It's almost a thankless job. And, you know, for Nick Saban and Mac Brown obviously does a podcast now. Maybe he'll get back into the TV game a little bit, but like those guys have pretty cush jobs. They're making good money to sit. Everybody likes them. And they just they work one or two days a week on TV, and that's it. Being the college football commissioner is probably a thankless job. And it's a 24/7 deal with all the craziness that's going on right now. So I don't know. Nick Saban's running all those verbos too. I don't know if he's got the time to
that's true,
to do something like this. But yeah, hopefully there's somebody out there. And just because you said student athletes. had to throw that one in there. But it's interesting. I mean, speaking of politics, like you've got Senator Ted Cruz and Maria Cantwell. They're bringing up legislation with some rules that I actually agree with for the future of college sports. I mean, it's, you know, some of what they're proposing here is a one-time transfer rule for players. So you can't just every single offseason decide to up and leave and go somewhere else. They're talking about, you know, 5 years worth of eligibility, the five to play five, right? You don't get this sixth year, seventh year crap just because something happened or you transferred from D2 or JUCO, 5 years to play five. They're talking about a hard cap. They're talking about, you know, not being able to leave during the middle of the year the way Lane Kiffin did before the college football playoff this past season. They're talking about prohibiting this Super League that everybody's talking about. Like, there's a lot of things in here that I think a lot of college football fans agree with. I don't know if this legislation, the way it's worded, is going to get passed because there's a lot of other rules that are already in place that kind of go against this. But, like, there are things that I think the majority of people would agree with doing. It just needs to actually happen before we start breaking away and forming super leagues, or, you know, SEC breaks off and does its own thing, or this, that, and the other. I like that people are trying, but it actually has to turn into something.
Yeah. It's like how politics should work. That's how great sports is. It takes sports to be able to figure that stuff out. But look, man, I've seen in other sports, notably in car racing that I cover extensively, I've seen breakaway leagues happen. It happened in IndyCar. It's happened in IndyCar two different times, and IndyCar has been doomed since it was like right after you had the first breakaway, they were finally getting on their feet again. Then you had another league breakaway, and they're still chasing themselves. And we're 45 or 50 years past the first one to where that happened. So while it's a novelty idea to where we can take our services and go do something else for somebody else, and we've got this grand idea, that's where I go back to, BK. Is that really the best thing to do? And I really do. I mean, I do see that as a leverage thing. Look, we are that good that we can do that. But still, I don't want to be hearing that all the time. We'll just break away.
I'll say this. Like, if that's really the plan and the SEC does break away, and again, I really hope that's not what happens. I really hope that was just hyperbole from Kirby Smart. But again, he's not the only coach that has at least floated the idea out there. He just kind of did it louder than everybody else. It was less of a float and more of a dart that he threw. If that were to happen, I would hope Texas is on the phone with the Big Ten. Like, hey, we want to join your league because we just want to be a part of the NCAA. We don't want to just be in the Southeastern Conference. Like, I don't want that. I don't want that. Maybe the SEC, maybe Texas doesn't actually feel that way if that were to happen. But to me, it's like, I'd rather be a part of the big thing versus just the SEC. And I know there's enough SEC propaganda out there to where it's like, oh, whoever wins the conference every year, that's the true champion. It's not whoever won the other thing that everybody else is doing. But I'd rather be a part of that because that's more like the college football and the college athletics that I grew up loving than whatever the heck is going on right now.
Yeah, you know, it took me a long time to kind of wrap my head around where we are right now. Just look at the SEC right now. It's so spread out. I mean, I keep using the word traditional. The traditional me wants, I mean, I miss the Southwest Conference. I mean, that was always so great. I mean, you had the regional stuff and that. I mean, look, Texas, Ohio State, that's great. But that's more the outlier. That's a non-con, those type of things. But you know, where it's evolved to, and then the different, I watched the Pony Access thing again the other night because there was nothing else on and I stumbled across it and I'm like, that was a big deal. Look at this now. How do you fix it? There's no fixing. How do you regulate it? I don't know if you can regulate it.
The thing. Like you talk about politicians not getting involved. It almost feels like the only way anything gets done is if it's a law. Like you're literally breaking the law, because that's what's, you know, everyone, again, they don't like what the NCAA says, so they go to the law to get what they want. And the NCAA is not above the law. Well, if the law says you only get to transfer one time, okay. There it is. If the law says you get five to play five, okay. There it is. If the law says you're a coach and you have to stay through the end of the season and you can't leave midway through the year before the whatever, okay. So that's where it's like, again, on one hand, I don't want politicians to have to be involved here. I'd really like the sports people to make these decisions. But clearly what's been going on is not doing anything. And we just, like, the Wild West is getting wilder and wester. So I don't know what else is going to – I know we're kind of talking in circles here, but, like, that might be where we're at right now, is NCAA is not doing anything. These conference commissioners can't figure it out. That'd be a nice thing, too, if, you know, Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti and Brett Yorbark and everybody else, if they could just figure it out and they could come together and all come up with these rules on their own, that'd be great. But clearly they can't. So it's almost like, we need y'all literally to save college sports. I think this, you know, this Ted Cruz thing is called like the Protect College Sports Act. That's literally what they would be doing, is protecting college sports from itself, because it is cannibalizing itself right now. And again, you fear that it's going to get to a point of no return.
Protect college sports. Keep that guy out of DKR. I don't want him around.
Yeah, that should be a part of the the law, is that Ted Cruz cannot attend any Longhorns game or any game of a team that you're a fan of.
But I had to tell you, so whatever happens here, let's say that these regulations do come down, and let's see that these rules do go in, that there's some sort of enforcement or some kind of regulation that comes about it. Then you know what happens next, BK? Then there's the gray area. There's always the gray areas, and that's what's gotten – well, no, there were no gray areas before. It was a blank slate. But then there's always going to be those that are going to just make it a little more Western and a little juicier, because you test the rule to the most extensive part that you can find and see if you can get that little bit extra. Feel that car racer coming out in me? That's what happens next. That's what happens next.
It's crazy. All right, we'll shift gears. We'll take your thoughts. The Dakota text line, 512-222-9328. The YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch live chats are rocking and rolling as well. In a few moments, we will chop it up with legendary lifetime Longhorn Greg Swindell. Of course, we are one sleep away from Texas baseball opening up the NCAA tournament tomorrow at noon against Holy Cross. Before we talk to our guy, Greg Swindell, about another quick round of sponsor shout-outs. We'll start with Early Bird CBD. Double R, I know you've got some Early Bird products. Are you, you've been using those things?
I have, my friend. It's been, a couple of busy times, sporadically the last couple of weeks. I will tell you, after the mullet open, not that night, but the next night, Friday night, you know, still a little sore and so forth. And, you know, my bad swings and all that were kind of, yes, right. That one right there took an early bird, had a great sleep on Friday night, took one Sunday, after some Indy 500 action, and, man, it's good stuff. It will absolutely, not take your troubles away, It'll put you in a calming state is the way to say it.
Yeah. Take the edge off is what I like to say. And you get a little mild euphoric feeling, but it relaxes you at the end of the day. It can help alleviate some of your pain. Actually, I had a conversation with Eric over at Early Bird, and he's very happy with us and very happy with y'all. And we are too. It's our listeners. You guys have done a great job supporting Early Bird. Appreciate y'all supporting our sponsors. We always do. If you haven't tried Early Bird yet, don't forget you get 20% off your first order with the promo code Bucky. The drops are great. The gummies are great. Whatever you go with, heck, you could try them both and see which one you like. It's a local Austin company. They make products designed to make you feel good. That's what they're all about. Don't just take our word for it. Get you some at earlybirdcbd.com. Shout out to them. And also a quick shout out to our friends at Sue Patrick, rocking a Texas baseball cap today, one of the official on-field caps that the Longhorns wear. You can get those at Sue Patrick. This throwback cream style, you can get the white, you can get the burnt orange, you can get the gray. They've got all the colors, all the styles, all the sizes at Sue Patrick. Plus, just the best selection of Longhorn gear you can find anywhere in Central Texas. You can shop online 24/7 at SuePatrick.com. They've got free shipping on online orders over $59. And, of course, in-store, 5222 Burnett Road. Tons of free parking. Easy to get to. Great people in the store. It's super nice. It's super clean. All the Longhorn gear that you could think of. The shirts, the polos, the jerseys, the hats. Sizes for men, women, and children, they've got it all. Sue Patrick and SuePatrick.com. And a quick shout out to our friends at GoBundance, the Ride Project. Our guy Matt King started the ride yesterday. We're maybe going to talk to him today, but then Bucky's internet crapped out, so we'll probably postpone our conversation with Matt. But this dude's riding 2,000 miles across the country in an effort to raise $1 million for charity. Start of the ride. You can follow him on social media. Just search Matt King or the Ride Project. Dude, he started it yesterday. Pouring. He's starting like south, right at the Mexican border. Of course, it's been pouring all across the state over the last few days. So he'd have like a 4-hour delay, but he's on. He's going therideproject.com to make a donation. Again, giving away $1 million to communities all over the U.S. of A. Matt's a great dude. We'll chop it up with him and get a status update sometime soon.